Good morning and welcome to worship. It is good that we can be together. Let me, as we are accustomed to doing, call your attention to the announcements in the early part of the bulletin and also at the end. You'll see there events on the calendar of the church. I remind you that coming up March 1st, not only is there the fellowship dinner, but also it will be followed by the Ash Wednesday service. You want to be there, so put that on your own calendar. Let me add to the list of prayer concerns at the end of the bulletin the name Marion Allen, Jenny Crawford's mother, who has been here in Dalton and near them, passed away this week. There'll be a service later on in LaGrange, which was her home for many years. But remember Jenny and her family in your prayers as you remember Ted Hogsett and the death of his father. Will intended to be at seminary this week, but was sick, so unable to attend. Nevertheless, his absence we mark, and we pray for his full recovery. Are there other announcements we need to make today? Anil. Yeah, good. Other announcements. Well, we have the righteous remnant with us today since so many people are out of town. When we pass the peace, make your welcome especially warm. The peace of Christ be with you. Greet your neighbor.
Please stand for the call to worship. The Lord is King. Let the people tremble.
The Lord is great. The Lord is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and awesome name.
Holy is he.
Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. Extol the Lord our God. Worship at God's footstool.
Holy is he.
And let us pray. Holy are you, O God, yet you invite us into your presence, and we are awed and thankful. We ask that you meet us in this time of worship. You know us fully, so we ask that you challenge us, renew us, assure us, comfort us as you see fit. Most of all, Redeemer God, remind us whose we are. Confirm your purposes in us so that our faces shine with your holy light. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First, in silence, let us pray. Gracious God, you know how often we fail to live as a body of Christ in your world. We are not always lovers of justice, doers of righteousness, agents of love. We are fearful and not whole. We try to protect ourselves from suffering. We can be oblivious to the needs of those around us. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. Give us your eyes, your wisdom, and your heart. Strengthen us by your Spirit to do what is just and right and loving for your name's sake. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the Bible.
In Jesus Christ,
we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Be seated, and let me invite the children to come forward.
Andrew, it might be just us today, and that's just fine. Andrew knows what this is. What is it, Andrew? Yeah, it is the line, the rope. It's the thing we hold on to every week with an adult in the front and an adult in the back and the children picking out their favorite color and holding on. Andrew, why do we have this line?
So we stick together and we don't get lost.
Exactly. We stick together and we don't get lost. We learn early on from using a line like this that we follow our leader. Now, Andrew is one of our really bright youngsters. It won't be long before he'll be leading the line. But line following is something we need to master early on because it lasts all our lives. Andrew, we don't always hold on to a rope like this, but we learn to follow people who are in charge, our teachers in school, our parents at home. And as we grow, when we let loose of the physical line, by that time, we know how to be obedient. When your dad or your mom says, "Follow me, Andrew," you fall in line. And that's the way it is for all of us. We all obeyed as children, and then we got older. We began to follow the rules that we had learned. We learned to look both ways and not to run with scissors and not to chase the ball into the road. And the Bible teaches us the same kind of rules. When it says to follow Jesus, it doesn't really mean that Jesus is on the end of the rope and we grab hold of a handle. It means that by now we know how Jesus wants us to live and we follow, and we do that all our lives. We follow because, as you said, it keeps us together and it keeps us safe and it gets us where we want to go. So the lessons we learn early in life, we keep doing all our lives. I'm always glad when you come down, you sat nearer today. Sometimes I hear your footsteps coming around the corner. And that makes me happy because as a church family, we all learn together. I'm so glad with all you've learned about Jesus and the stories from the Bible. And I celebrate that we can help you until the day when you lead the line and people younger than you follow along. Let's have our prayer together, okay? I'll say a few words and you join with me. Dear God, thank you for the lessons of childhood. For the people who led us and taught us the rules for living. Let us always follow Jesus so that we are safe and we reach our final destination. In Jesus' name. Amen. Andrew, very good. Now I'm going to ask Miss Alice and Miss Mary to come and you demonstrate for the congregation how the rope works, okay? I think you can pick out any color you want today. Very good. As they leave, let us say, God be with you there. And they can echo, God be with you here. At this point in the service, we would often have a spoken prayer, but because one of these days our congregation will take a retreat, I hope we can be learning some retreat music. So remain seated, but turn to number 458. Let the choir sing this through once, and then we'll join them the second time through.
The sun is out. I hope that's a good omen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms chapter 119. Listen for God's word. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the paths of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servants your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. This is the word of the Lord.
What a splendid choir we have. The second scripture passage today comes from Matthew. It is a demanding pericope, a group of verses for us to hear. For that reason, pay special attention. Jesus is in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. He continues, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. I've found over the years that there are particular scripture passages suited for certain times or circumstances. We know, for example, at Christmas and Easter where to turn in the Bible, and Palm Sunday is a given. When we have a baptism or when we serve communion, we turn in scripture to those passages that teach us about the sacraments. For a wedding, we might turn to Corinthians or 1 John to talk about love, or Ecclesiastes or even Genesis to talk about the partnership that God intends in marriage. For a funeral, we may read, even recite the 23rd Psalm or Psalm 121. We'll find comfort in the words of John, quoting Jesus, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And when we call for an invitation or talk of salvation, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," times and circumstances call for certain scriptures. And it seems to me that the times in which we are living offer a challenge. It is this world of ours, complex, sometimes troubling, sometimes filled with fear, for we are divided along political lines or racial lines. We divide over religion, gender, orientations. We are at war in many places, and we face issues like immigration, the economy, healthcare. We endanger the climate. And internationally, what do we do with ISIS or Russia or the debate, the ongoing debate of Israel and the Palestinians? And compounding our reaction is the fact that there is a general lack of truthfulness now. There is rarely full disclosure. Fake news clouds our minds, and there is a general lack of trust in institutions. All very unsettling. A woman gets into a taxicab and tells the driver her destination. They begin to ride. Partway there, she remembers that she'd like to make an intervening stop. So rather than startle him by speaking, she just reaches up and taps him on the shoulder, whereupon he accelerates and goes across the lane into the other lane, and then he overcorrects, hits the curb, jumps up on the sidewalk, knocks a table and two chairs out of the way, and stops just shy of a window. She, shaken, regains her composure and says, "I am so sorry." And he says, no, it's my fault. This is my first week driving a taxicab. For the last 25 years, I have driven a hearse." Unsettling it may be, but we want not to overreact to the world around us. And so we have the text printed in your bulletin, which I suggest is appropriate for all of us living in these days. Jesus has continued in the Sermon on the Mount, and now he says, "See, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Let's take these one animal at a time. The Bible, when it talks about sheep, often means innocent creatures who are beloved and cared for. And you know as well as I, Jesus is often described as the shepherd of the sheep. But sheep here mean animals not simply beloved and cared for, but vulnerable in the world. And part of that vulnerability for us as sheep comes from the very teachings that we've read about in Scripture. If you look at the Old Testament psalm that Sue read, statutes, laws, commandments, decrees, ordinances, precepts. In the Old Testament, the law was the rope that people held on to. Given by God, they took hold and they tried to follow in the footsteps as Scripture taught them. Then came Jesus, who allowed us to turn loose the rope, but not the commitment to follow where God led us. So it is with us. We, sheep, are required to follow in the footsteps of one who demands far more than the world does. We know that God will always care for us as sheep, but the world will often try to take advantage of us. Christ died on the cross. Abraham Lincoln, when he tried to bind up the wounds of the nation, was assassinated. We follow, but not always an easy path, we sheep. Now, what of the wolves? This is a term used in Scripture to depict predators, people who often put power over principle, who lie and cheat and steal and scam and hack and spin and obscure, people who in our day gerrymander, Democrats and Republicans, who allow money to speak too loudly in the decisions of society, who follow special interests rather than the common good. There are wolves in society and sometimes in the church. Sometimes people speak in answers that are too black and white, are intolerant of honest struggle, make scapegoats out of those who disagree or who are minorities, place country above Christ. We are sheep, sometimes among wolves. So given that, Jesus says, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. To be wise as serpents means to be cautious, prudent, aware, thorough. They always tell you the snake is scarier of you than you are of him. I never really believed that. But snakes do seek to avoid situations that put them in danger. Frankly, I have always been a sheep, rather naive making my way through life. Jean has tried to help me. She encourages me to go grocery shopping. The first time we went, she said, I'm going to give you 3 assignments. I want you to go get the peanut butter. Well, I went, picked the one that was the least amount, cost the least, and brought it back. And she said, well, this is fine, but we need to look at the sugar content. We'll be happier if we have less sugar in the peanut butter. Well, okay, so I didn't get that one right. She sends me to get 12 eggs, and anybody can do that. I went back and picked up the package and brought it back to the cart and said, here we go. And she said, did you look inside? Well, no, I didn't. She opens the top to find one of the eggs broken. So I put the top back on and take it back and get a carton, and I look inside, all 12 eggs perfect, and I bring it back to her and said, here we go. And she says, what's the expiration date? Well, it's tomorrow, I said. Well, we won't use them all by tomorrow. I continued in that way. I bought the giant size thing that saved you 20%, except she advised me to look at the unit price, which was even more. Anyway, always been naive. Same is true as a pastor. I was in a church in Alpharetta. We were growing because of demographics. We needed a trailer so that we could add more children to the preschool program. We got a person to come and give us an estimate on the cost, and we could pay that. And so we signed and got the trailer and began to make the monthly payments. And we got to December, and we got another bill. And the financial secretary came to me and said, wait a minute, something's wrong because we've already paid what we should. And we called just to clarify. And the person on the other end of the line said, you know, if you read on page 6, a month is defined as 28 days, and so there are actually 13 months in the year. Who does that to a church? But all was not lost. When we signed a contract on this building, we who are rich in legal experience got our contract read carefully, and we struck out and wrote in and initialed a number of changes from their standard. Well, they did a beautiful job, but they did a poor job bidding. And so we got nearer and nearer the end of the job, and we saw them begin to take some shortcuts, and we got word that they were going to be losing money on the job. And when the final day for settlement approached, they sent from Atlanta a new person with a notebook saying, here's what we think you owe. And it was more than $500,000 more than the contract called for. And so we gathered our legal team, building committee on one side of the table, and lawyers and judges on the other, and we went through every step, and Bob Hubbs, as the good treasurer, brought out the list of exactly what we owed, and we communicated back to them, we'll pay you everything we agreed to pay you. And months passed, month after month after month, and finally in December we heard from them, we'll accept that. They had no choice. But we had a choice. We had been wise as serpents in spelling out exactly the arrangement we were going to have. But in fact, we knew that we got more than we bargained for. So while they couldn't legally make us pay this, we paid an extra sum because we felt we owed it to them. We needed to be doves, innocent in our dealings with them, because it was only fair. They had rightfully earned that money. If serpents are cautious and prudent, then doves need to be harmless and gentle and inoffensive. Hard in this life. A man has a parakeet. The parakeet has a difficult time drinking, so he takes the parakeet to the vet. Here's our problem, and the vet sees it right away. Well, his upper beak has grown a little bit too long. We need to file it off. How much, the man says? Well, it'd be $50. I'm not paying it, the man says. Well, the vet says he needs to have that filed. The man says, I'll do it myself. The vet said, well, I wouldn't do that, because if you file off just the least little bit too much, when he goes to drink water, he'll drown. Well, the man is unconvinced and leaves, and he tells his wife what has happened, and the wife says, you know, I don't believe I'd try that myself, because you could hazard the little bird. No, the man is insistent. So he goes to the hardware store to get a file small enough, and he tells the man, look, the vet says I need to file off this beak, and I told him I was going to do it myself, and the man says, well, I'll sell you the file, but I don't think you ought to do that, because what if you do file off a little bit too much and he drowns? The man says, that's my decision. Well, he went back to the hardware store a few days later, and the man recognized him and said, how'd it go with the bird? Was he able to drink properly? Whereupon the man says, you know, I couldn't rightly tell. Poor little thing was dead when I took him out of the vise. Terrible joke. But you can use it to remember that you can make your point without causing harm, we, you and I, have a reputation. Maybe you have a sticker on your car that says Presbyterian. Or maybe your friends know by where you go Sunday morning or Wednesday nights that you're a Presbyterian. It's a small town. We represent ourselves, our congregation, the church, the larger church. We represent Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to be aware. We don't need to be gullible in life, but we need to be good. We need to be careful about what we put on Facebook and what we say when it's hearsay. We have standards, Old Testament standards, and the standards of Jesus in his teaching and his life. And what of the end of this scripture passage from Matthew? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We cannot, any of us, be perfect in the sense of never making a mistake. I think what scripture means is for us to be whole, to have integrity, to learn it here and to live it there. You and I, following that invisible rope carried by Jesus and those who taught us about the faith, and to be carried by Andrew and others who come after us, following in the footsteps of the one who says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Just before this in Scripture, Jesus names the disciples. I don't mean he says disciples collectively. I mean he says Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and Simon, and Alphaeus, and all 12 of them. When we speak from the pulpit, a passage like this, it is not merely Walter filling Will's spot. It is Jesus speaking to us, to Henry and Julie, the Johnsons, to all of us, saying, wise as serpents, innocent as doves. Remain standing as we affirm together what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We bring to God now our tithes and offerings. Please be seated. Let us pray. With grateful hearts, God, we turn to you in prayer for the gifts we have been given and the privilege of sharing. We give you thanks. And we pray for our community, for friends and neighbors, homes and families, all different, and for the young in our community who are our future. May we here together find such common ground in virtue that we unite to seek the good of all your children, for those near at hand and dear in heart, Lord, in your mercy, for those weighed down by life's cares, we pray. We pray for the sick, whom we name in the silence of our hearts. We pray for those who feel the challenges of aging. We pray for the Hogsheads and the Crawfords and all of those who grieve now. We pray for those who are neglected or abused, unemployed, poor, or addicted. We pray for all those who are displaced or discriminated against, for all the vulnerable who need our encouragement and your touch. Lord, in your mercy. For those in power, we pray. We pray for our president and elected officials, for judges and decision makers. We pray for employers, those who manage businesses and enterprises, large and small, and those who labor and build and serve and search and research, for all whose daily efforts make the great wheels of society turn. Lord, in your mercy. And for the protectors, we pray. We pray for law enforcement and the military, for moral leaders, for journalists and seekers after truth, for pastors and teachers who preserve and add to knowledge, for farmers and environmentalists who tend the planet, and those who care for people in body, mind, and spirit, and for those and with those around the world who show love in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before we sing the last hymn, let me say that I can picture my grandmother singing this hymn. Picture her somewhere ahead of me in that long line that stretches ahead toward our final destination. The world may be challenging. We may be sheep among wolves. We may be called to be wiser and more innocent than we think ourselves capable. But in the end, when we gather, it will all be worth it. Let us stand and sing together.
Our spirit.
Yes, we shall gather at the river, and in those footsteps that lie between now and tomorrow, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you courage for the walk and peace. Amen.